Marie Antoinette stands as one of history's most misunderstood figures, remembered for a cake-related quote she never actually uttered. Stefan Zweig's masterful biography peels away centuries of propaganda to reveal something far more fascinating, a woman who grew into her strength precisely when it was too late to save her. Born an Austrian archduchess, she became France's scapegoat during its most turbulent period. What makes her story so compelling isn't just the dramatic fall from Versailles' splendor to the guillotine's blade, but the remarkable psychological transformation that occurred along the way. Imagine discovering your true purpose and courage only when facing certain doom. This was Marie Antoinette's journey. Through Zweig's compassionate yet unflinching examination, we witness not merely the collapse of a monarchy, but the emergence of human dignity under unimaginable pressure. Her story resonates because it's fundamentally about finding strength when everything is lost, something we all hope we could do if fate demanded it. At 14, Marie Antoinette became a living treaty between Austria and France through her marriage to the future Louis XVI. Her mother, Empress Maria Theresa, viewed her purely as a diplomatic tool. The Rhine border handover epitomized her vulnerability. Stripped of her Austrian identity and clothes, she was ceremonially transformed into a French princess in front of strangers. Versailles offered Marie Antoinette an isolating paradox. Constantly surrounded, yet deeply alone. Every moment became public ceremony, from dressing to dining, with dozens of courtiers following rigid protocols. The marriage proved immediately troubled. Louis, shy and awkward, couldn't consummate the union for 7 years, turning private struggles into international concern. "What can I do?" she wrote to her mother. "I cannot force him." This intimate failure carried serious political weight. The king's brothers positioned themselves as heirs, forming opposing factions. When Louis finally overcame his issues through surgery and produced an heir, these former allies became enemies. Frustrated by her husband's emotional and physical distance, Marie Antoinette sought escape in amusements, gambling, theater, balls, and lavish fashions. When Louis XV died in 1774, Marie Antoinette became Queen of France at 18. Louis XVI, though decent, was indecisive and preferred locksmithing to governing, while his vibrant queen made Versailles the center of Rococo extravagance. Her elaborate hairstyles, sometimes 3 feet high, exemplified this excess. Her lavish spending, though typical for her position, came at the worst possible time. As France's finances crumbled, she became a symbol of aristocratic indulgence, earning the nickname Madame Deficit for problems that preceded her. Her retreat to the Petit Trianon, where she played shepherdess in a manufactured rustic hamlet, only worsened public perception. Motherhood marked a turning point. After bearing a daughter in 1778 and the Dauphin in 1781, Marie Antoinette transformed. She stepped back from court life, focused on her children's education, and began engaging in state matters. Yet this genuine evolution came too late to overcome years of accumulated public resentment. In 1777, Emperor Joseph II harshly criticized his sister Marie Antoinette's frivolous lifestyle during a diplomatic visit, noting her late starts, empty amusements, and lack of intellectual pursuits. Though this intervention sparked positive changes in her conduct, especially after motherhood, the transformation came too late to salvage her public image. A systematic campaign of character assassination was already underway. Pornographic pamphlets, libels, circulated widely, depicting the queen in scandalous scenarios. These were often funded by political rivals, particularly the Duke of Orleans, who sought to undermine the monarchy. The diamond necklace affair of 1785 delivered the final blow. When con artist Jean de Lamont tricked Cardinal de Rohan into purchasing an expensive necklace supposedly for the queen, Marie Antoinette demanded a public trial. Despite clear evidence of her innocence, the cardinal's acquittal cast lingering doubts. As Zweig observed, the necklace was never worn by Marie Antoinette, but it strangled the monarchy. By 1788, France faced financial collapse after costly wars and a tax system that exempted the wealthy. When Louis XVI called the Estates General, a representative assembly dormant since 1614, revolution loomed. Marie Antoinette's friends fled France, leaving only a few loyalists, including Swedish Count Axel von Fersen, whose intimate correspondence with the Queen revealed their deep emotional bond. The fall of the Bastille on July 14, 1789, ignited the revolution. 3 months later, protesters forced the royal family to return to Paris, where they lived under house arrest in the Tuileries Palace. Marie Antoinette, at 34, transformed from a frivolous queen into a dignified leader, managing negotiations while her husband wavered. In June 1791, the royal family attempted to escape Paris in disguise, planning to reach royalist strongholds in the east. Their capture at Varennes destroyed the last remnants of public trust and effectively ended the constitutional monarchy, though its formal abolition would come a year later. Marie Antoinette's final chapter revealed her most admirable qualities. After Louis XVI's execution in January 1793, she remained imprisoned with her children and sister-in-law. When authorities separated her from her 8-year-old son in July, placing him with a cobbler to be raised as a son of the revolution, her spirit nearly broke. Yet she showed remarkable strength during her October 1793 trial. The charges mixed political accusations with vile fabrications, including claims she had sexually abused her son. Despite her deteriorating health, her hair had turned white and she suffered hemorrhages, she defended herself with dignity. When confronted about the accusation involving her son, she addressed the mothers present. "If I have not answered, it is because nature itself refuses to respond to such a charge against a mother." On October 16, 1793, she was taken to the guillotine in an open cart. During the 2-hour journey through hostile crowds, witnesses noted her remarkable composure. Even on the scaffold, she accidentally stepped on the executioner's foot and apologized. "Pardon me, sir, I did not mean to do it." This final courtesy, moments before death, exemplified her enduring dignity. Marie Antoinette's story resonates through her late awakening. As Zweig notes, only when history's hammer struck her anvil hard did her character emit a pure, noble sound. She was neither the villain of revolutionary propaganda nor the saintly martyr of royalist legend, but an ordinary person in extraordinary circumstances. The famous "let them eat cake" quote, wrongly attributed to her, was actually from Rousseau's writings about an unnamed princess. Yet it endures as a symbol of Versailles' disconnect from French reality. The queen who faced the revolutionary tribunal with dignity was transformed from the thoughtless young woman who had played shepherdess during France's hardship. Her evolution from privileged obliviousness to tragic awareness mirrors a universal human journey, though few face such dramatic consequences. Her story demonstrates how character emerges not in comfort, but in crisis, a testament to human resilience in the darkest hours.